It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text. Tailor the truth that we are ministering today, that it meets not only on the inside, but ministers to us right where we are. Let it lift us up to the place you would have us to be. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Well, come on, give the Lord another hand of praise. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. And it reads as follows. But Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, making difficult decisions in desperate times. Making difficult decisions in desperate times. If you've never been there, my brothers and sisters, keep on living. And you will find yourself faced with having to make difficult decisions that you've never had to make before. Some that present themselves in such a horrific way that there is no time to contemplate, no time to pray, no time to wonder, or as the old folks say, no time to study. But all that in you is rises to the occasion where you make a decision based on the wisdom that you have within you and the ability to discern what's right or what's wrong or what's best. When we hear this story, it is a familiar story. We're all familiar with it from Sunday school days of Jesus walking on the water. And yet I choose not to focus on the more traditional viewpoint of this story to bring out perhaps some relevant meaning for us today. What is the point and purpose of us hearing this story and applying it to our lives? Certainly, it's really not about walking on water, because it's been recorded that only Jesus and Peter actually walked on water. I've not read an updated record yet where that is the common phenomenon. It's not really about just dealing with storms, because everybody, saved and unsaved, have storm encounters. But what sets this apart as we look at this story and unfold it to give us some helpful holy hints of how we can gain and gather from the text some nuggets, some pearls from which to operate in our own lives and in our own issues and in our own difficult days. We've got some lessons we can learn in the text. And it's important for us to see them for what they are and utilize them in our own situations. One of the things that you will note, if you back up to the 27th verse, you will discover that Jesus has just said to all of the disciples, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." He says this when he walks up to them on the sea in the midst of a storm with all of them in the ship, in the sea, in the storm, and says to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Now, one of the things you're going to note that even before then, going back to verse 22, he directs the disciples to go to the other side and he'll meet them there. But he puts them in a ship and sends them off, and then he sends the crowd off. And then in the next verse, he goes up to a mountain alone to pray. And then the story unfolds where the sea is contrary, the winds are contrary, the storm has already started brewing. The disciples are in a tossed ship, can't make it to the other side, but Jesus told them, go to the other side. And yet it is now between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and they have not made it to the other side yet. And in the midst of the storm, Jesus comes walking on the water. They see him, but not as Jesus, but as a spirit. And so they are afraid. They're frightened now. And so the reality is they don't know what to do. They can't run, they can't hide. The storm is tossing water and causing their view to be distorted, so they can't really make out what it is, less known who it is. But yet Jesus speaks to them and he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." These are words that these men have heard from Jesus before. They were no unfamiliar words. They were words they had heard on various occasions of Jesus speaking to them and to others, and yet they were present when they heard these words. They knew these words. They were familiar words. Now, yet in the midst of their storm, Jesus is speaking it to them. All of them are in a desperate situation. They're disturbed, they're distressed, and it all seems like all of them are doomed. But there's one man who somehow senses a difference in the atmosphere.
he hears these words ringing, and somehow it somehow touches the very essence of his inward knowledge of Jesus. These are no unfamiliar words. Something about these words are stirring him up. And so one of the things you'll note that Peter did in differing from the other disciples was he discerned that this might be Jesus. So the first thing I want to show you in the text to help us in our situations of making difficult decisions in desperate times is we need to do like Peter. The first thing he did was he pursued the Lord. Pursued the Lord. Look at what he said. He said, "Lord, if it be thou." Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto you on the water. Now look at Peter. Now look at the genius of his difference coming out, how he poses this reality to Jesus, because here's what he knows. He's already seen Jesus walking on the water. It's the first time any of them have seen him do that, but yet he knows it ain't no big deal for Jesus to come to him. But he says, "Lord, if it be thou." If you're really the Lord I know, then bid me come unto you on the water. Now listen at this, because this is a desperate situation, but yet Peter puts this and poses this question to him, if it's him, in two parts. The first part is, if it's really him, let him come to him. Let him come to him. That means he has to get out of the ship in the midst of the storm that's already going on, because verse 24 says the wind was already contrary. The ship was already being tossed. It wasn't like the storm just started when Peter got out of the ship. It was already going on. And see, sometimes you don't realize how much of a storm is going on until you get out of your place of safety, out of your place of comfort, and get into unsheltered areas. Then you realize how bad the storm really is. So the first part of the genius of his questioning was, let him come to him. Listen. And listen. Let him do it on the water. So now Jesus was the first man walking on water, and Peter would have been the second man. And that's exactly what happened. Peter became the second man to walk on water behind Jesus, because he pursued the Lord. Now listen at this now. When you pursue the Lord, let me tell you, he'll take you to places you've never been. Somebody ain't hearing me here. When you pursue the Lord will show you things you've never seen. When you pursue the Lord will give you encounters you could have never dreamt of. And he pursued the Lord, and the Lord, listen at this, gave him an encounter he would never forget. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He pursued the Lord. But it's not just enough to pursue the Lord. You've got to be persuaded by the Lord. Look at how the Lord persuaded him. And he said, come. Listen, when you know the Lord, it don't take much persuasion. That's all he needed from Jesus was just one word. Come. Come. That's all he needed to hear him say was come. Because he had heard that word before. Come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If any man will come after me, y'all not hearing me here today. He had heard the word come from Jesus before, and that word come resonated all underneath his skin, and it moved him, persuaded him to get out of that ship and go to Jesus. So he was persuaded of the Lord. He needed that persuasion, my brothers and sisters, to sustain his faith. Faith cometh by hearing. He heard come. That was all he needed. Listen, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, he had the word of God. The word of God said come. He had already requested, if it is the Lord, let me come unto you on the water. Jesus said, I don't have a problem with your request. He said, just tell me come. He said, come. So now he's persuaded it's Jesus. Look at what the Bible says. And when he had come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's shouting news. Notice the word don't say, and they walked on the water. It says, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, sometimes when you pursue the Lord and you're persuaded of the Lord, sometimes you got to go all by yourself. Others were watching, others were present, but none others participated. It was just Peter. Peter got out of that ship by faith, took one step by faith, took another step by faith. Listen, and another step by faith. I got to tell you, Jesus was the right distance to activate his faith. He was close enough to Peter to activate his faith, to make him say, I believe I could make it. But he was far enough from Peter where Peter had to do what he said, and that was use his faith to go to Jesus. And yet, look at what the word says, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. When he saw, he became afraid. Maybe that's why Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by sight, we see too much. We're too distracted by the peripheral view and all of the issues that surround us in the sideshow. He lost the main focus and the attention off of the word of God that had given him the ability to come to the Lord just as he was. And listen at this, my brothers and sisters. And when he saw. And when you look up boisterous, it has more to do with what you hear. It's loud, noisy, it's violent, it's all of those things. But the word said when he saw. Because you don't really see when. That's why the spirit was likened to the wind. You don't know where it comes, you don't know where it's going. But he saw the wind. Well, what it really meant was he saw the effects of the wind and how the wind had picked up the water, how the wind had distorted the view, how the wind had brought matter into conflicting views and so forth, so much so that he was now in the midst of this conflict. And as a result of that, he took his focus off of coming to Jesus. And when he did, he became afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid now that those hindrances would stop him from making it to Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes if we look at stuff we ought not be looking at, we allow the enemy to influence our faith and make us believe that it's impossible to do what God said is possible. And so when he saw, he was afraid. And when he was afraid, he started sinking. And when he started sinking, he cried. And when he cried, he said what he meant. Lord, save me. Listen, in the verse previous, it took him 13 words to get out on the water. But when he started sinking, he cut off 10 of those words and used 3 and said, Lord, save me. Yeah, desperate times will cause you to leave off all that excess talking. Stuff you really don't mean. He got down to the nitty-gritty and said, all that really matters is, Lord, save me. I know what I said, but I'm in a desperate situation here. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters, because when the Lord hears his cry, because I need to tell you again, he made another decision. He could have said and been prideful like a whole lot of us and said, well, the Lord didn't save me. He let me drown because I told him if it was him, bid me to come. But listen, the Lord didn't take his eyes off Peter. Peter took his eyes off the Lord when he saw the wind boisterous. But so when he cried out, listen at this, and I think I need to throw this out parenthetically. He at least had sense enough to say, Lord, save me. And the Bible says, verse 31, and immediately he stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know what that word caught him mean? It meant he was on his way down fast. Jesus reached and grabbed him. Now you think about it, and I preached this message many times. You think about if he'd have kept on praying them prayers like some of the deacons used to pray. Father, here I am, knee bowing and bowing and bend, coming your poor weak in numbers. Well, Lord, he'd have been at the bottom of the sea. But he cut that prayer short and said, Lord, save me. And since his prayer was short, his rescue was fast. Some of y'all gonna catch that on the way home. You don't have to pray long to pray strong. The old folk used to say, call him up and tell him what you want. And my brothers and my sisters, Jesus said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, he says, O thou of little faith, if little faith got him to walk out on water, what did the disciples have in the ship? If little faith caused him to say a 3-word prayer and get saved. What does little faith say to us? All you need is a little faith. Sometime your decisions will be good, sometime they will be bad, but you've got to make a decision to do what's best. Listen, Peter made the decision to do what was best. He got out on the water. He went toward Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus, watched the boisterous wind, took his eyes off of the word of God that caused him to have faith to get out of that ship, began to sink, and then realized, wait a minute, the same Lord I was coming to, I can call on. And he called him, and Jesus caught him. But he asked, wherefore did he doubt? That's a good question for us. Where did you lose it? How many times have we been walking by faith and we were doing good, but we messed up? Was it because we took our eyes off of the Lord, off of his word, off of his promise? Was it because we got afraid, and because we got afraid, we became scared to the point where we were paralyzed in our own fear? What was the point that caused us to lose out on our blessing? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Tell me, Peter, where did you go wrong at? You see, one of the things that I love about this is Peter was the only one who could tell him. Couldn't nobody else tell what happened in Peter? And nobody else can tell what happens in you when you have a moment where you doubt the Lord. It's an intimate moment. It's a personal moment. It's a private moment. Listen, it's between you and the Lord. Other folk might try to figure it out. They could talk about it, but they can't tell you about it. All of them could make fun of Peter walking on the water and starting to sink, but how many of them can even say they walked on the water? Only Peter could tell about what it felt like to walk on the water. All they could do was talk about it. Y'all catch that when you're on your way home. You see, when you become persuaded of the Lord that you're able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you, when you become persuaded that there's nothing that's impossible with you if you only believe, when you begin to understand that you must have faith in God and all things are possible, there are great exploits you will be able to do. And make difficult decisions in desperate times. Listen at this. The Bible says, now after Jesus caught him and asked him that question, the Bible says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind cease. One got out the ship, but two got in the ship. Peter got out all by himself, but he got back in with Jesus. I don't believe y'all are hearing me here. He had a walk with Jesus that none other could boast. Yeah, he had a blunder. Yeah, he had a moment of doubt. But the doubt that he had was just temporary. And I want to throw out this parenthetically for you to help you understand that when you begin to doubt, you begin to sink. Whenever you begin to doubt God, you begin to go down. Listen at this, my brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are, how long you've been with him, but doubt
does not work well with God. When Peter doubted him, he began immediately to go down. But I think you need to understand that doubt also did something else. Doubt decayed